This morning I'm talking about love and the nature of the heart. The meditation was wonderful. You know, just certainly got us ready for this talk. So the $64,000 question is, what is love? Reminds me of, if you ever watched Jimmy Kimmel at night, you know, his funny program. He's a funny guy, good-hearted man. They'll go out on the street in Hollywood Boulevard, I think it is, and they'll question people. And the answers are the craziest answers it's like, what are they saying? How could they say these things? I would love for him to go out there with this question and get answers. What is love? But of course, I'm taking the esoteric approach and answer this morning about what is love. So the whole talk this morning is focused on this theme of love and what it is. So let me begin. When a disciple is close to taking what we call the third initiation of consciousness, they become totally immersed in a love for all people. And their consciousness is aligned with the initiator of all disciples, the Christ. And in our tradition, we understand the Christ is the head of the hierarchy. The disciple, at this point, stands for the principles of the hierarchy and is broad in their acceptance of the essential truth of all religions. They are broad in their acceptance of the essential truth in all religions and spiritual philosophies. So you can understand this person is rare. A sage says that love is pure seeing and pure reasoning. So there is part of our answer right there, that it is pure seeing. Love is pure seeing and pure reasoning. And it is not sentimental. It is not a sentimental love. This is, again, this is for our education as esotericists, as disciples, as students of the teaching. If we want to advance our consciousness, if we want to understand these various qualities of love, which are the various qualities of the heart, then it's essential that we learn these things so that we can begin to practice them ourselves. And so at this point, we are being told that love is not a sentimental love. It is pure seeing and pure reasoning. It is seeing how things are. See, we don't put masks over and we don't adjust this and that to a definition of love. It is seeing love exactly as it is. And this is love, seeing exactly how things are. Now, the Age of Wisdom tells us the location of the heart that it is talking about, which radiates love. The heart refers to a golden 12-petaled lotus that is behind our physical heart. So this goes beyond the physical organ. And some people have the eyes to see this golden 12-petaled lotus. We're told that it's about 4 to 6 inches away from the body. This heart lotus can be found in various stages of development. Sometimes it is a small bud. Sometimes only 3 petals of the lotus are open. Sometimes the petals are hardened in various degrees. Sometimes this heart is in a fully developed radioactive lotus. In developing the petals of your heart, the petals of the heart lotus, the petals of love, purification is necessary. Purification of the heart will be essential if you want to approach the Christ and the great ones. You know, people don't think about these things. They don't think about purification of the heart. But in the world of the ageless wisdom and the pure teaching of Christ, we begin to understand people's personality, nature, when they have either a bud, the bud of the lotus is there, or the petals have begun to harden. Those personality types will find people negative, critical, superiority complex. They have anger. They have jealousy. They tend to isolate themselves from everyone else. Or they have a family, and the family isolates itself from the community. It's very interesting to see. And the answer is because the heart is not radiating. It's contained. It is a purification of the heart that allows for the expansion of consciousness. And see, the expansion we're talking about includes a person who can accept the essential truth of all religions. This is such a person who's at least the second tier of the love petals of the lotus are all open now, all six petals, the three petals of knowledge, the three petals of love, all six of these petals of the nine and of the 12 are now in radiation, and this is why they're the exception. You know, it should not be the kind of person we see as an exceptional human being. This is the kind of person that should be the norm by now in terms of the evolution of humanity. Humanity's been on the planet for such a long time, starting with Adam and Eve and taking a bite out of that love apple. Where is humanity now? Where is the position of their lotus? How unfolded is it? And once unfolded, why do those petals become atrophied? Why do they become hardened in various degrees? It's lifestyle. It is allowing the blanket of materialism conquer the beauty of the lotus. And they become brittle. The person becomes brittle. We've all been around people like that. And you cannot help but feel badly for them. So purification of the heart. It's this purification that allows for the expansion of consciousness. An expansion that will enable the person to come in contact with higher currents of energy. And this is important, just to make a note, if you're making notes, that this purification allows you to make contact with higher currents of energy and finally penetrate higher states of consciousness and beingness. Now you'll know why in a minute, why I want you to keep this in mind. Now, suppose the person does not purify their heart. In that case, these energies, the light, the love, the power, entering into the person's aura will create disturbances in their life. Disturbances that ultimately divide them from their family members, from their friends, and from their spiritual group. So purifying the heart is essential, and this is why. The heart takes all the energies from the higher spheres, distributes these energies into our bloodstream. This is scientific fact. So the heart's taking the energies from the higher spheres, distributes them through our blood system, throughout our aura, throughout finer planes of consciousness, if we've developed them, and of course our bodies, physical, emotional, mental bodies. So you can see this whole process that is taking place from the distribution of the energy that the heart is distributing. If our heart is not purified, now the energy becomes contaminated. So you take the little bit of notes that you made and now put it together with this understanding, and you can understand why the unpurified heart causes contamination of our nervous system, our entire blood system, and so forth. It contaminates the physical, astral, and mental bodies. So spiritual practice requires purification of the heart. In the teachings, we are told about meditation. It talks to us about meditation. I remember 3,000 years ago learning about meditation, and 100 years ago I was told, don't start meditation if you're going to stop it. Don't start if you're going to stop. This is what happens. Through our meditation, through our aspiration, through the process of purification, if we stop the process, then those beautiful lotus petals that became unfolded and that were radiating and that were receiving the energy from the, let's say, the cosmic magnet or the heart of space, now we have contaminated what we created through our meditation, through our striving, through our purification. Now we have taken that beauty and contaminated it, and now it's working against us. This is why living in a pure, beautiful environment is so important. This is why people move from the city to the countryside. Although the countryside isn't like it used to be back during Downton Abbey days, you know. even I was thinking about Mongolia is changing. When I was in Mongolia, it was much like the vistas of Downton Abbey, this green grass and vastness of the hills, where you have sheep grazing over here, no paved streets. Everything, the streets are created by the direction the Mongolians are going to town or back to home or back to the neighboring city of 200 people. So there's no paved streets until you get to Ulaanbaatar, which is the capital of Mongolia, and then there's then it's just like Calcutta, you know. There's so much pollution you can barely breathe. It's really, really bad. But out beyond Ulaanbaatar is so beautiful, just like our countrysides here in the U.S. You know, used to be so beautiful. And now with climate change and people not taking care of the planet, you know, we're having problems even in the country. So we have to work hard to try to find a location, you know, an environment, a geographical location, as well as a home environment, an office environment, a family environment that is beautiful and peaceful and calm, so that we do not contaminate, you know, what we have built over the many incarnations of the life of our soul. It is so beautiful because love is a greater light than light is. Love is a greater light than light is. When you really love somebody, not because of their body, not because of their money or their positions of power, you place your love for that person in a most sacred realm of existence. It becomes an eternal love, a soul-to-soul love. Your relationship will act in the most harmless way possible. Loving their soul and being honest with their personality. Loving their soul and being honest with their personality. This love is what causes a spiritual leader to have nerves of steel. Seems strange, isn't it, to have nerves of steel and be a loving, compassionate, caring human being? But this is what a leader has. They have that kind of love where they can love your soul and be honest with your personality. This high level of love and the ability to see the essence of the leader's friends and co-workers' heart gives them such an increased love for that person. If you love somebody at the highest level of love, you will know that person at the level of his soul. You will know them better than they know themselves. Why? Their glamours and illusions do not obscure the leader's consciousness. You will know why they are behaving this way. The leader will know why this person is, or that person is behaving this or that way, why they are doing this or that, why they are hurting their co-workers, their wife and family, or why they are hurting their teachers. Love is the greatest light. Love is the greatest light. This is love, the love and advancing of an advancing disciple. A disciple is not a religious figure. See, if you've been raised in Christianity, you've been raised that a disciple is a religious figure, right? But this is not what the teaching says. This is not what Agni Yoga says. They are instead a hero to humanity. That's what a disciple is. I remember a dear friend over the years has persistently said, get rid of the word disciple. It's an old word. And I cannot do it. I just can't. I've really tried to find, a synonym for the word disciple, and I cannot. I absolutely not, because I don't define the term disciple as a religious figure, but as a hero. And why do you want to find a synonym for a disciple who is a hero? A disciple can be a man or a woman who carries the torch of love into their family, into their group, their community, their nation, and, of course, humanity. They are the ones who unite. They stand for unity because of their purified heart. The Master Moria said, you should first remind people how important the heart is as a unifier of the world. And that is found in the book Heart, paragraph 73. Most ordinary men and women do not have such a high level of love in their consciousness, but it is a goal of their soul. The great ones of the teachings have instructed us about the lotus. They tell us that when that second petal of the second tier of the lotus is unfolded in the heart, of the disciple. Separate of ideas, hatred and crime no longer exist. What does exist is a tremendous amount of love and compassion. Such a person is striving toward unity, unifying and synthesizing things instead of separating, dividing, and creating cleavages. Leaders of spiritual groups, especially, must be careful of those whose heart nature has not yet reached this level of unfoldment. At this first level of spirituality, you find a fanatic. The first level of spirituality. I hope you're keeping up with this because it will give you the answers to many questions when you enter into a spiritual group and you see the fanaticism. They're talking love, love, love. Give me nothing but love, love, love. And yet they're fanatic. This is the first stage. I was going to sing that song, but I better not. So at the first level of spirituality, you find the fanatic, the separatist that acts in the name of his or her God. Isn't that interesting? Their path, their religion, their family, their so forth. They are do-gooders. When an aspirant comes into a discipleship group, their soul is yearning to move from the first to that second stage of unfoldment, a step where they can strive to such a level of love that they become initiated into the mysteries of Christ. Taking the second initiation, where they have a momentary contact with the Christ. This is why a person will step out of their passion for a particular religious stream of energy. Their soul is now trying to push them forward, help them to advance, to move forward. And if they can do this, they will move into this second level of beauty and love and light and take the initiation and have that moment where Christ touches them. It's at this point they have an all-inclusive love, broad in their acceptance of the essential truth in all religions and spiritual philosophies. So before this point, their love is conditioned with a heightened, self-righteous superiority. So with prejudice and divisive consciousness, a newcomer enters the group's consciousness, where they might unwittingly create cleavages in the minds and hearts of the weaker members. If, however, the group is solid and united in the heart, the newcomer, the aspirant, changes their consciousness, elevates their level of love from conditional to unconditional, from religious to spiritual. They are well on their way to cultivating the ability of pure love. You can trust such a person with your life, but it takes time, even lifetimes. It is not unusual to find that the aspirant is unable to sustain their new level of awareness, and they'll default to their old customary nature. You see, separate of ideas, hatred and crime do not exist in the heart of one who has pure love for human beings. Instead of separating, dividing, and creating cleavages, the person becomes a messenger of unity and synthesis. Sometimes an aspirant becomes separative and creates doubt in their co-workers' faith. They begin behaving in such harmful ways that the group leader, after trying their best out of the protection of the newcomer and the group, asks the troubled aspirant to leave. On rare occasions, the newcomer emotionally and physically will on their own withdraw from the group's energy. But why the withdrawal? One way or the other, it is to protect the person, the aspirant, from taking on further karma, and to protect the integrity of the group, the unified heart of the group and the teaching. I've seen situations where a group member marries, and soon after, the spouse develops an intense jealousy toward the friends and co-workers of their spouse, planting seeds of doubt, which eventually separates the member from their group and their dear friends. This situation is seen in people whose heart is not yet unfolded, has not unfolded the petals of compassion and love. I've seen many families destroyed or broken because of these behaviors. The couple falls in love and the family supports the couple and tries to make their lives together easier. But soon the wife will develop jealousy of her spouse's parents and siblings, creating cleavages and divisions and separatisms. Rather than an image of love, now the wife has become an image of separatism or separation. You must be careful observers so that this does not happen in your family or spiritual group. Spirituality is about the love for human beings. That's what spirituality is. It's about the love for human beings, an unconditional, protective love, an all-powerful, inclusive love, a compassionate love. See, it is not about religion. It is about spirit. We need these kinds of people, and we can only do these things if the flame of Christ is in our heart. That dynamic energy that makes us bloom, open, and unfold. It would be so beautiful if every one of us becomes a messenger of unity, instead of becoming a messenger of cleavages and divisions and separatism. Love and compassion for human beings increases our health. We are finding that our health is a reflection of our spiritual progress. If we really start living a spiritual life, the physical body will be so healthy, so beautiful, that it will renew itself. We will live longer. If you read the Age's Wisdom and the Bible, you will find out that because of people's faults, their lifespan began to shorten. From 200 or 300 years they lived, it became 60 or 70 years or less. They did things that were wrong. Doing something bad means that God, the God within you, is lost in matter. The spark within you, that spark of love, is lost in the matter, in negative emotions, in the lower interests. And when it is lost, its dynamism is lost. And the power of regeneration is lost. Sometimes when we meet people who have been living for 80 or more years, they still look young. For example, excuse me, anytime we are doing something wrong, we are short-circuiting our electrical system. the electrical system in our body. One day more people will know these things, even though we can already see some people do realize it in their consciousness. It's like I received a letter a couple of days ago from a young woman who lives in Canada, whose husband died suddenly of a heart attack. And she was doing, they had been married for 45 years. She is doing so beautifully. She's sad, she's mourning, but she also has a heart that is radiating so much love as she was writing to me in her letter. And so I, you know, responded and learned that she has two beautiful sons who are helping her through this loss. And they were both by her husband's side that week that, you know, he went into the hospital and died 7 days later. And the two sons were there. They were loving their father. They were loving their mother. And now they are with her, you know, on this next step of her journey. And that's what love is all about. It's so beautiful. And I was really touched by her heart and her family. You will recognize that as you think hateful thoughts about another person or separative thoughts about a coworker, friend, or family member, you're going to find yourself feeling uncomfortable later. As these thoughts begin to accumulate in your body, they make you ill. And soon your friends are going to reject you. Even though you will outwardly perhaps deny these things, inwardly they will be recognized. There was a great disciple named Damodar. While preparing for initiation and masterhood, one of the great ones told him that the first and last principle for discipleship was to develop a kind of love within oneself for all humanity. Damodar tried to expand his love for humanity. When he expanded his love for humanity, the great ones proposed then that he work to expand this love for all of nature. Until we are total love, we cannot enter the hierarchy. Damodar became a very advanced disciple. He was one of the great followers of Blavatsky at that time. He was called to the Himalayas, and they took him to Shambhala, the abode of light. M.M. said, "Only love can enter our abode. It must be a love for all human beings. If there is still hatred, separatism, or feelings of revenge towards certain individuals or nations in your mind, you will not be able to enter the hierarchy. Students, leaders of humanity, and those working for the hierarchy must understand that the hierarchy is not a church. It is not a mystic body of men and women. The hierarchy is the center of inspiration around the globe. We must be aware and participate in politics as disciples with love for one humanity. This will make the hierarchy happy. A disciple is a person who is awake as much as possible. Of course, it is impossible to be awake in every situation and moment, but we must be awakened. We increase our love for all humanity in practical ways. One of the understandings is in discipleship is strengthening the hands of those who work for truth and beauty. It is not to dismiss them and weaken them, but to strengthen their hands. We must support them no matter what race or religion or group to which they belong. If they are doing a wonderful humanitarian service, we must help such groups with our prayers, our thoughts, our visualizations, our encouraging letters, and support. Discipleship is the ability to function in any field of human endeavor to bring light, love, and harmony into that field. So this means acting with cooperation and purity. We must participate in world affairs, in committees, in groups, organizing anything that benefits humanity. For example, you might be in politics or education, the media, or other fields. You must participate religiously, economically, and scientifically in all of these areas so that your family, group, or community's decisions are based on discipleship vision and not on the common knowledge of the people. This is how hierarchy's love will work through you. And let me close with this. Virtues make us ready to be used in the labor of the field of life, virtues. There is a very old teacher taking a student to the mountains for a walk. After a few hours, they passed a dangerous curve in the mountain. The teacher began to talk very enthusiastically, catching his student's attention, until the teacher realized the student had noticed a man lying on the hillside. "Teacher," the student said, "there is a man there. Maybe he needs our help." "Well, you are not listening to my words, and you are interested in a fool who has fallen there. But..." So the student jumped down the hill, seeing that the man was almost dying. The boy managed to pull him up to the road and carry him on his back for almost a half a mile to a fountain where he thought he could find rest. When they were close to the fountain, the man jumped off the student's back and began to dance. With such great surprise, the student looked at his teacher, who was silently following him. "Well," the teacher said, "you passed the test of compassion." We have all encountered hundreds of such tests in our lives to prove our many virtues. And whoever passes the test makes himself ready for a greater responsibility. Great ones are waiting for those who make themselves ready for such service. Amen.